That's right. It's a WGN Hometown Voices Tour live from Lyle Isis Skies Festival, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands.
And the balloons will be flying later, we think, and Violetta should be in one of them. We'll be looking forward to that whole experience.
Yes. What could possibly go wrong?
I feel Nothing. Badly for the balloon meister who's in charge of that balloon.
Yes. There'll be a lot of talking. Talk.
And another thing.
All right, Michael Steele is joining us now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And there's nothing to see here, sir. Nothing whatsoever.
No, all is normal in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Stay calm.
Yes, right, exactly. Stay calm. No one freak out. Yeah. Hey.
It's just an explosion. Stay calm.
Now, you know, you went from running the Republican Party to your work in media, and it somehow you ended up at the MSNBC, and you ended up on that Morning Joe show. Did you anticipate? See, this is, I just want to take you through my yesterday morning. I don't care about yours. I'm going to take you through mine. I wake up and I see this whole thing. Like, the president goes after Mika Brzezinski, and I'm like, what? Wait, what? Was that also the same reaction on the set of Morning Joe?
Yeah, no. The folks couldn't get off the set fast enough to go track down, Joe and let him know, because Joe had taken a break right before this had happened. He got off the set and boom, there it is. So it, yeah, I mean, this is, but. You know, remember, the president says he doesn't watch the show. So I don't know what he would have to tweet about in the first place if he doesn't watch the show. Well, clearly he does. And that level of engagement for him was necessary because he felt that, you know, they had slighted him yet again. And, you know, this is what we want our presidents to do, to spend their time sitting in front of, you know, 50-inch television, musing over what pundits and talking heads are saying about it.
But to be so personal and visceral and tough in a personal attack.
You know, I've been doing my own little small level of psychoanalysis on this. I'm coming to the conclusion, Donald Trump clearly has a thing, an issue with women, strong women, women in power, women who have a voice, whether it's in media, politics. He clearly has an issue with that. But I think in this instance, it's something a little bit more than just having an issue with Mika. I think this was also a swipe at Joe because, you know, he's going after Joe's woman. He's calling Joe out. And I just thought that because you look at that tweet, it was like, oh, yeah, you know, poor Joe or, you know, crazy Joe or
psycho.
Something. And but then the next level was, yeah, now I'm going to take this right up into your lady's face. You know, having just been recently engaged, et cetera, et cetera. So I think this was also a way of Donald Trump doing the alpha male calling out another guy type of thing and using that medium. And if you go back and you look at all the tweets in which he goes after both of them, he starts out where he sort of slams the show, then he hits Joe, and then he tries to level her, and I think that's really sort of his way of sort of it's a twofer, you know, giving a smack at her, but also calling Joe out about his woman, as boys on the street would say.
I think a lot of people woke up yesterday like Rowan and thought, what is going on? There's so much at stake in the world right now, so much at stake for citizens of the United States, and that we're talking a back and forth between the president and a morning television host. But then it continued today, and that was even more fuel to the fire, a little more shocking to me, not that it's easy to be shocked anymore, but talking about how he called me to try to stop a National Enquirer article. I said no. There was a lot revealed on this second day, Michael Steele. How did you read the fact that this continued? Did he just feel the need he needed to respond to them coming back at him?
Yeah, of course. Let's see. He's not made one inquiry about Russia. But he is all up in what's going on between Mika and Joe and the Morning Joe set. You know, he's not made one inquiry about the status of the health care, when we're going to start legislation on infrastructure or tax reform. But he's sitting there tweeting the hell out of himself on on BS.
Oh, gosh.
So you know, this is a man who is stuck in a 10-year-old cycle. We're I don't know how the country adjusts to it, but you know, I'm talking to Republicans and I'm looking at them saying, well, you know, he just needs to stop and you know, it's not presidential. Dude, you knew that. He ain't doing anything different than he did during the campaign. And yet y'all lined up, went into that voting booth and said, yep, he's going to give us a Supreme Court justice. Yep, he's going to do all this. I'm like, really? That's the only thing he's done is give you a Supreme Court justice.
I
guess that was worth it.
But let's, I mean, he also has a tendency, not just the distraction issue, but then he also admits to high crimes and misdemeanors halfway through these tweets, because the issue that now there's the issue of whether or not he was sicking the National Enquirer on Joe and Mika to write a nasty article about them. He does have a relationship with them.
Yeah.
He has a relationship with National Enquirer. The guy who owns that publishing company is a self-described best friend of Donald Trump's, mm-hmm. and is loyal to him. He says he is loyal to him. If you read the National Enquirer, now you see it in the checkout lines, you notice that it is it's very, very pro-Trump in everything that they do. And it's amazing how they've also cherry-picked Trump's enemies. Mm-hmm. So the secrets behind Megyn Kelly, you know, was 2 weeks ago.
And now, the Hillary Clinton and Obama narratives continue to grace the covers of the National Enquirer.
Big deal, right? So it is a bit of a, you know, it's his pit bull. And so now, if he were actually directing fire from a publication in order to besmirch a member of a citizen of the United States, but then to besmirch a member of the press, you know, in order to try to change the coverage scheme, I mean, that's Nixonian. I don't know to what degree it's really a crime, but it is certainly, it must make everybody around then, like the politicians who end up in the National Enquirer, and there will be some, I'm sure, including Republicans, then they're all going to go, oh, that's what he did. Look, that's what he does. If we have to look out, this is how he's going to take us down, is go to the National Enquirer and have them direct fire. That just does not seem like it should be coming from the Oval Office.
It shouldn't be, but it is. It shouldn't be, but that relationship is one that is exercised through back channels. So it doesn't surprise me that Joe, would say what he said this morning about, you know, possible blackmail or you know, at least trying to dissuade Joe and Mika from saying negative stuff about Trump. It wouldn't surprise me in the least, but that's how the man operates. And, you know, as his wife and his press secretary and everyone around him says, well, if you hit him, he's going to hit you 10 times harder, just like your 10-year-old would respond.
Wow. Okay, a couple things in terms of policy.
Governing? Yeah. What governing? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just had a moment there. I had a lapse. I thought you said something about governing.
I even said something even worse. All right, so the health care bill. Now, and this is interesting, too, because he also this morning, he changed the direction of health care. He actually picked up on Rand Paul's idea yesterday that was dead on arrival, which is separated into two different things. We'll do a repeal. Yeah. And then it'll be, you know, we'll break it, and then we'll give ourselves a self-imposed one-year deadline to build something new that's fabulous.
So what do you do in the interim? You got to put something in place when you repeal it, because when you repeal it, stuff just doesn't stop happening.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Some things will go on. Some things may stop, but you've got to figure out. You've got to have an interim step before you get to a look. All of this crap talk about repeal and replace, I wish they could stop, because they had 7 years to come up with a replacement plan, and they couldn't figure out what to put on page one, let alone page 124. So it's all crazy talk right now. Republicans need to drop health care, move on to something that they can get their fingers around and actually get done. Come back to health care with a broad, long-term strategy that would include Democrats at the table, that would include all the stakeholders in the healthcare system, from insurance companies to pharmaceuticals to patients, doctors, hospitals, you name it. If you write a prescription, get a needle, sell a stethoscope, you need to be in the room. And then develop a strategy that will say, this is what American healthcare will look like. This is what 21st century healthcare in this country look like. Right now, this is a political mess for the party and its administration. They need to drop this crap, move on to something a little bit more constructive, something they think they can actually get done, because there won't be so much fighting within the party itself, let alone trying to get Democrats to agree. And then let's talk about healthcare.
Would you agree that he on? Okay, I'm trying to remember what day it is. So it's Friday.
Yes.
I mean, I should know this, but it's like a blizzard, right? So on
right.
Tuesday into Wednesday, it seemed like there was some momentum here to get when they called the vote off on Tuesday. It seemed to me
right.
what was being said then is, you know, we're going to go back, we're going to spend the weekend, we're going to take the long weekend off, we're going to come back and maybe on Wednesday, Thursday of next week, start in earnest and maybe be able to get this to the Senate, give us a little bit of breathing room, tinker with it around the edges and come up with something
right.
that isn't quite as bad. And now the president basically between his going after Morning Joe. I mean, Morning Joe. Wait till he goes after the Kardashians.
Right.
That will be the next moment, and then it will be all over.
There's the new low.
Right? That will be
yeah.
the new low, or Kanye or something. When he's gone after that, and now he's also offered this other, by basically saying, hey, let's do it in two parts, which when this is the thing. This is what's so crazy. I saw Rand Paul yesterday mm-hmm. on CNN bring this up. In an interview, and people laughed at him, like, "Oh, come on, that can't get done. You can't get one thing done, let alone break it down into two things. And then what happens?
Right.
And you're just confusing it." And Rand Paul said, "Well, listen, I'm trying to come up with something." And I felt bad. I was like,
I felt like,
okay, Randy, maybe got something. And now the president, he picks up on the already dead on arrival. He's like,
yes.
It's like instead of going fishing, he goes to the beach and picks up a dead carcass and then drives it to the restaurant.
He had that tweet today yeah. about doing the repeal separately, do repeal immediately and then replace
yes.
at a later date.
Because they have
and just to be clear about that, that was something that Rand Paul and other conservatives in the House, Ted Cruz and some others in the Senate, had said at the very beginning of this. They want a full repeal and then we do a replace. And that was what was done with before President Obama left office. The last bill that they got out of the House and Senate was a full repeal of Obamacare, full stop. And the president, of course, vetoed it. President Obama vetoed it. And so that's the bill that Rand Paul and others want them to resubmit. The problem is the Senate rules because of the financing. You have to use reconciliation. And so to avoid doing reconciliation, this is why they're coming with a whole new bill.
Okay, but let's be honest here. Let's just call this for what it is. Because you were the head of the RNC, you know, in the beginning of when this whole repeal replace thing started, right? And
right.
so the
No, I was gone. The repeal replace started in 2012. I was gone by then.
Okay. I apologize, Michael Steele.
Michael's like, I was nowhere near that.
Number one. I was for don't do this, fool.
Which is why you're no longer the head of the Republican Party. But this
That's
is a separate
right.
issue.
Exactly. So, how do you figure it out?
So this is the issue, though. So if the thing is that they kept doing that repeal replace. They used that language. They used the language of disassemble. To make it very clear that they were not on the side of this guy's health care plan. So we're going to repeal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, very effective politically. But the reality was they knew it was never going to happen because he had Barack Obama in office and he wasn't going to ever sign it.
Sure.
So now the minute
it's
you got to. So now, why not just take those last two bills, you know, out of the House and just go hey, we'll just stamp that, because they knew that those weren't going to go and they were irresponsible to the nation. So now they have to build something that is somewhat more responsible, but they don't know how to do it because you do have the Ted Cruzes of the world and the Rand Pauls of the world who just don't want to do anything if the federal government is going to, you know, has too much skin in the game, right? And so
and actually to their credit, that is a legitimate policy discussion point. It is a legitimate point to say there are those of us in the House and or the Senate who feel that national health care is not something that is consistent with the American value or the American, our view on how government and patient-doctor relationships go. That's fair. But the problem is it's too late for that because you couldn't stop Obamacare from becoming the law of the land 7 years ago. And so now that it is here, it is like literally going to the doctor and the doctor mistakenly injecting you with something, and then he goes, "Oh, let me try to get that out of your blood system." Well, what are you going to do? You're going to sit there and go through a blood transfusion, and you know how that doesn't work. You know, it's just so you can't do it. It's in the political system of the country. It's in the governmental system, in the healthcare system itself. So now the question is, all right, how do you fix it? Because you can't. Who's going to go and take away pre-existing condition coverage? Who's going to do that?
Here's what I'm doing. I just want to tell you something. Okay. I know you care more about what I'm doing this weekend than I do care about yours, Michael. But here's the deal.
Yes.
I'm turning.
This is true.
Starting at 7 o'clock tonight, I'm turning my phone off. I'm just turning it off.
I don't think you could do
turning,
that.
I'm turning it off.
You can't
I
do
am
that.
Go, I am. I'm
That'd
going.
That'd be so good for you, Robert. You couldn't do it.
I'm going to take the weekend off. I may turn it back up on Monday. I'm not working Monday, but I may. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Maybe I'll turn on Wednesday. As long as there's not a gigantic nuclear halo in the sky from North Korea, I'm just going to figure that, you know, I can live with anything else that happens.
I don't believe that.
That's what I'm going to do.
I think we should bait him, Michael, with, like, tweets or texts and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Hey,
I don't believe that
this,
either.
I'll get 100 texts in an hour from Michael. What you doing now? What you doing now?
I can see you turning it off and then turning it back on a minute later.
Hit me back. All right. The great so Michael
true.
Steele. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time, sir. We will
talk
to
you. Happy 4th.
Thank you.
You
we'll
too,
talk
Michael.
To you next week. Thank you, Michael Steele.